guys, on a Saturday night. And for those of you that don't got nobody, you do have somebody tonight. You have Don and Wynn. So no one's going to be lonely on Saturday night, June 14th, Flag Day. Today Flag Day, isn't that right? I think it is.
Flag. There we go.
That is my co-host.
Flag.
Mimicking a repeating loop on a tape recorder. Don. And as usual, you have entered the Don and Wynn zone. The Don and Wynn zone, which
is whatever you want it to be.
No one knows where it will go as we get on a flow or no flow. Now, you'll note today, Don is being exceptionally nice, and that's because he's tired. because he's been up for 2 days, and those of you that have been tracking BBS know that Don had to evacuate his home with his family because there was a fire threat.
Oh, let me tell you, it was a humdinger. Everything was burning.
Could you see the fire from your house?
Oh, yeah.
Good, huh?
Oh, certainly. We had fires going off on the left side of the road and the right side of the road.
Right in front of your house you had fires.
Well, pretty close. I mean, we had fires all over the place. They had blocked off the escape routes. They made us, the police came and forced everybody to evacuate in certain areas. So, we all had to evacuate. And then they wouldn't let us back. The electricity was gone. So everybody in the whole city, pretty much, or the town of Paradise, was evacuated. And some people they let back in early. But they kept myself and a few others in certain areas out for quite a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. And then, of course, when the power went and the police came and everybody's screaming and all the lines are going off and everybody and all these emergency phone calls are saying, evacuate now, this is a mandatory evacuation, you must evacuate, sort of thing. And then you had to press certain buttons on the phone to let them know that you were evacuating. Well, every phone went off. I mean, I don't even know how they got them all. They got our Vonage lines, the regular lines. I mean, they phoned me up on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Very interesting.
So when Seth and I were here, we had all these phones going off telling us the same message.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog was pregnant, so we grabbed the dogs, we grabbed our children, we grabbed a few things that we could take with us, and off we went. We got to this hotel, which is about three cities away in Corning, because Chico was all filled up, and there was one other place, I forget what the other city was, it was all filled up. So we finally made it to Corning, and when we got there, we're driving up. I mean, this is quite a drive from where we are. I don't know, but I mean, it took us about 6 hours drive when normally it would only been an hour. And then we get there into the town of Corning, and that place is burning. I mean, up in the hills. We saw fires going everywhere. And we get to the hotel, and we thought we would relax a bit after this long ordeal, which it was long, believe me, with four kids, two dogs, a truck that's packed, and you've been on the road for everyone screaming. Well, then the dog gave birth. 2 a.m. Right there in the hotel.
I got babies?
Yep. 7 puppies right there in the hotel.
I didn't know your dog was married.
Yeah, me either.
You knew she was pregnant? You knew she was pregnant.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We didn't think she'd give birth that quick, you know.
Who was her husband?
Your brother.
The two dogs, both dogs are lovers, you mean?
Yeah. Brother, sister, you know.
And it's incest.
Yeah, they're a little, the dogs are a little funky.
God. Incest, huh?
Yeah, so we got these inbred pups.
Are they purebred?
Well, they're pure brother and sister.
They're pure brother.
Purely.
Of some.
Solely.
Of some denomination, right?
They're beagle, hound mix.
Hound mix.
We had, yeah.
I never told you in my history years ago, I had a dog, and when I would run out of money, I would breed her and sell the pups. And so.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever. Well, no, I've sold a dog for maybe $5 before, but usually I just put them in the paper and give them away.
Well, my dog was a purebred Afghan, okay? And so the pups were worth, at the time, like $200 each. And so I was hitchhiking around the country with my dog. Okay, I'm going to tell you this, son. This is a good story. I don't think I'm going to. You know, I was living in Berkeley, and I had just discovered Edgar Cayce. I had a girlfriend who we were singing together, and we had a Volkswagen bus, and we used to travel around the country in the Volkswagen bus, sweeping and going into bars and playing in between the bands. And we did this for, you know, on and off for 2 to 3 years. And eventually I said, you know, I need to live the American singer-songwriter dream. So I left Berkeley. And by this time, I was very much entrenched in metaphysical things, and I had learned how to do astrology charts, because I, in spite of my skeptical scientific mind, which didn't believe astrology could work, my girlfriend at the time was a very astute astrologer. And I started to learn everybody's sign who we knew, and then it would come about that I could sometimes guess somebody's sign.
I thought you said you were traveling around with the dog.
Oh, wait a second. Well, I'm just telling you. So
are we talking about the same thing here?
No, we're not talking about the same thing. He was not a dog. So we went back to Berkeley, and by this time I learned how to do astrology charts, and I had a dog. I had an Afghan that somebody gave me. And I said to myself, there's something that I need to learn. And I wanted to go on the road, and I said, if there's a God, I want God to prove itself to me. I want to feel it. I want to experience something. And so I left Berkeley. And this was quite a bold move to just go hitchhiking with probably $50 in my pocket, my dog. And I had this stack of astrology books around my belt, you know, and I was a true hippie. And I was going to do astrology charts for people in exchange for sleeping on their sofas. And so I actually did this for about 3 years and ended up in some of the most amazing places, ended up playing music in the Village in New York. It's, you know, part of my legacy of learning how to be a singer-songwriter. And I had my dog with me, and I was staying in somebody's rent control department in New York City, and I didn't have any money, so I found someone to breed my dog with, and we had puppies, and I sold them all. And so that's how I funded the rest of my trip. That trip had so many.
By breeding your dog and selling them.
But yeah, I was like breeding my dog. That was the second time I had done that.
Don't they only have a couple litters a year?
Well, I think I had 2 litters over 3 years. I didn't want to exploit her too much, but she was a great dog. And I don't think you never heard this story, did you?
No.
So you see, I told you if you were a little tired today, I'd probably talk about something interesting. You know, like one of the things that happened to me is, I was staying in this rent control department in New York City for $25 a month. And it was like in the East Village. And then I would walk down to Greenwich Village, and I'd play music and play it in between the bands. And it was like, it was just amazing synchronicities. And eventually...
I'll be right back. No, just keep carrying on. I'll be right back. I apologize.
No, keep going.
I'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Are you going to the bathroom?
No, but I'll be back in 3 minutes.
Are you going to be listening to me while I'm talking?
Yes.
You will be? Yeah, make sure you're listening, because I don't want to lose my continuity. So I went to a place called Ringwood, New Jersey, and there was this guy named Bob Reap and his mother, who had a beautiful home near, I think it was called Ringwood Lake. And Bob was a perennial hippie in Ringwood, New Jersey, and he looked like a big mountain man. He was just a really bad influence on all the neighborhood women. And Bob took me to Greenwood Lake, which was a town in New York, maybe 20 miles from Ringwood, New Jersey. And he introduced me to the owner of the Italian discotheque called Tommy Granatelli's, or TG's, and with the idea of me playing music there. And, well, I was playing in little coffee shops and college coffee shops, and now this guy asked me how much I charged, and I said, well, when I play the coffee shops, I usually made $25. So he said, okay, I'll put you on for $25, but nobody's going to listen to you because you're too quiet. So I went up on stage that night, and sure enough, nobody was listening to me. And this was kind of a discotheque. And that's what they called them in those days, discotheques, where all the people in New Jersey would come to New York to drink, because the drinking age in New York was 18, and in New Jersey it was 21. So, I mean, I had a bunch of young people getting drunk, and I was singing and nobody was listening, so I announced to the audience, now we're going to do a primal scream. And I let a scream out at the top of my lungs, and then I said, okay, now you're going to scream back, and they screamed back at me. So we kept screaming back and forth, and I wasn't sure exactly where to go with this, but somehow I got through my set, and as I walked off stage, the owner said, all right, you're hired for the summer. And I ended up becoming a town legend. I would have all the bands would start jamming during my set. And it was, at that time, it was pretty much top 40 bands, and they were just following their normal routine of playing all the hits. And so my sets became the energetic highlights of everything. And I think I learned how to write songs.
Sorry about that.
Okay, I learned how to write songs for drunks.
I had to finally switch over to station two. We had our station three, Almeen's on, and switching it over, I finally got station two back up and running. See, we had everything parted out. We took all the hard drives and the computers, and I've been working furiously trying to get everything up and running before today. And haven't had any sleep, really, for 2 days. I've been up since, I don't know, it's been a couple days now. It's been fun. This has been a really interesting week.
You know what? It's good experience to learn how to cope in an emergency. You know that?
Oh, you know, what's surprising is when you finally get on the road, you can't remember. I mean, you finally remember what you forgot.
And then
it's like, oh, no, we forgot this. Oh, we forgot that. Oh, if we had brought this.
Now, how did your wife and kids cope with it all?
Oh, you know.
Women are not as good as men at this kind of stuff. They get much more attached to the physical.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it was really, really quite the interesting ordeal.
Mm-hmm. So, you're not going
to have to...
You're not going to answer the question directly, right? You're not going to tell us how your wife coped.
Oh, she did well.
She did well? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a trooper.
Mm-hmm. Well, she must be if she's your wife.
Absolutely.
Only a trooper could be your wife. Right?
That's right.
Someday we'll have her on the show. we probably scare everyone else. We probably scare her.
Well, you know, I had appointments all Thursday and Friday, and those were canceled. And the new employees, two new employees that we hired. We've actually hired several new employees in the last week because we're growing so much.
Additional employees?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got new employees.
Now, what are they doing? What are the new employees doing?
Well, one's a full-time accountant. One's a full-time engineer, engineering everything. And the other one is a part-time person for payroll and taxes and statements, year-end
mm-hmm.
statements, quarterly, so on.
Mm-hmm.
So full-time bookkeeper, I mean, and a full-time new engineer to help out with the broadcasting, and one part-time accountant, let's say.
So is your engineer good with programming, too, or just on the air stuff?
Pardon me?
Is your new engineer also a programmer? Does he know how to work the programming?
Well, it's a she, and
yeah.
she does not know programming, no.
Mm-hmm.
But she has other abilities.
Like what?
Well, she speaks well. She's fluent in English.
Now, is she pleasant to look at?
She's fabulous. You'll love her. Her name's Marcella.
French? She's French?
No, I don't think so. She might be.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just going to be one of the new engineers to help. She's overlapping with Seth right now while he's training her, and then she'll be working. We'll have somebody here 9 in the morning till 5 p.m. every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 5 days a week. And then Seth, 3:30 to midnight, 5 days a week, for engineering with the hosts.
Mm-hmm. You know what, guys?
And then, of course, me, which, you know, I pretty much then will be able to just pick up what they don't. So.
Well, then you can be creative.
That's right.
That's when you can actually build your reach.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I'd like to take a vacation, a long one, not to a hotel, and not
mm-hmm.
because I'm leaving anything that's burning, but just because I want to go lay out on the beach, stick my head in the sand like an ostrich, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
pass gas, maybe,
mm.
at the passerbys.
Pass gas so no one knows who's doing it, because your head will be in the sand, right?
That's right. Isn't that what ostriches do? You know, they stick their head in the sand so that they can pass gas, or...
Did you know one of the most famous book about that Benjamin Franklin ever wrote? You know who Benjamin Franklin is, right?
Benjamin Franklin? No, who is he?
You know who he is. One of the founding fathers. He did Poor Richard's Almanac. He invented the lightning rod, bifocals.
No, all I remember is Gore. The guy who invented the internet?
Al Gore?
Yeah.
Oh, you know Benjamin Franklin. Well, he has a book out that he wrote called Fart Proudly. Now, people don't know that. He was one of the founding fathers of the... He wrote the Declaration of Independence.
But yeah, look at us now.
Look
at our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence now, for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I saw that video you had up on Obama.
Oh, you like that? I called it Oblomy.
Oblomy, yeah.
Oblomy, yeah.
So,
yeah, I wanted people, you know, he talks really great, and he's got some nice speeches, and he's done a few things that might keep your eyes open, but when I, you know, I'm not struck on the guy. I mean, he hasn't proved to me anything yet. Not yet.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think he knew what he was doing? He was unconscious. Why would somebody do that?
You know, blow me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, some people say he was under mind control and he couldn't help himself.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, some people feel that he just enjoyed himself too much, and that's the way he is. While other people say that You know, there's a few varied opinions about that video. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, folks, just go to the BBS LA TV page. You'll find it on our homepage. There's a little button, kind of like the station buttons, but it's on the left column. You go down the left nav column a bit, and you'll see a little button there that says BBS LA TV. And we're posting videos there. Hard hitting documentaries. And YouTube, of course, is removing many of them. I mean, it's funny. As soon as a video gets a little bit of a few viewers, YouTube removes it. And YouTube, shame on you. Shame on you guys. I'm really shame on you. I really must say that because I thought, you know, Google and YouTube would stay away from that, but they haven't. And so they're removing videos, and of course, if you get RealPlayer and you download RealPlayer, you can use it to instantly, well, not instantly, but you can download any type of video file, flash file, all sorts of files. As soon as you put the cursor over one of a video or a flash file of any format, it'll download it. And it'll download it into an FLV or a flash file, macromedia flash file. And so what I'm doing now is if they remove a video, I'm going to post it. And if they remove it more, I make it a little stronger of a post. And I wish Truth Talking websites out there would take these videos that YouTube and others remove, especially if they remove it because they don't want the truth out there, and pass it around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pass it around. What are they trying to cover up? You know?
So RealPlayer, if you download RealPlayer, you can then have access to any internet.
Yeah, free. Download the free RealPlayer. And there's a link. I have it on the BBS LA TV page. And if you download the free RealPlayer, you just open up your Internet Explorer. You get on to a video. You put your cursor over it and it'll say download now. So you just click download and it'll download just about any type of file. It's fabulous.
Somebody's calling us, Don.
Somebody's calling. Let's get them. All right, you're on the air with Don and Wynn.
Hey, Don.
How are you?
Dr. Valerie.
How are you, Dr. Val?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're excellent.
Is this Valerie Olmsted in Sedona?
It is, except I'm not in Sedona. I'm in Pennsylvania at the moment.
Yeah.
City in Pennsylvania.
Well, we're doing the quantum vortex thing.
The quantum vortex.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're doing our major tour and everything, and we would be sending you guys all kinds of video if we didn't look like crap every time we thought about doing it.
that's the beauty of radio. No one ever sees you.
You know, I'll tell you, I love the internet because you can always constantly bring back the information. Bring it back. Let it bite them. Let's get the truth out there. Pass it on. Download these videos. Download the web pages. When you see something that's important, save the page. Save it as an HTML page. Save it on an external. Then save it to another external. Then save it to a third one. Save it to a few. But get them. Download them. Pass them on. Keep them there. Bring it back.
Yep.
And I mean that passionately. I mean, you know, I stick a lot of documentation away only because one day if we ever do get some sort of a regime that has some semblance of honesty and integrity, I want to prosecute these a-holes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We were doing a group the other night, and everything that I'm telling people when we do a group is, first of all, there's no shortage of oil, there's no shortage of clean water, there's no shortage of land, and there is no shortage of food in the United States.
Exactly. There's no shortage of anything. These guys are just, you know, you can't believe a word they say. And
you know, we're traveling all across the U.S. We've been in every state practically. Every place we go, we're seeing that this has all been a big lie. And I'm telling people, you know, you've got to stop believing in this crap because you're causing the recession and the coming depression. And just stop believing in these lies because now everybody's holding their money tight to their vest because they're scared. And it's all based upon lies.
It's all lies. Exactly. They haven't told the truth yet about anything. Yeah. And the media's falling like wet dogs behind them.
Oh, yeah.
Yap, yap, yap. You know, and they're not telling you anything of any consequence or anything that'll buck the trend of the money makers. And really, folks, what it all comes down to is a few sick, whacked out perverts that have too much money and want to control the money supply economically, globally. That's it. There is no other story to tell you except for absolute greed and absolute perversion, because they want to see suffering. They enjoy it.
Yeah. And they're getting power from it. It's like, you know, if you look at the reason why there's so many problems with pedophiles and things, it's because they're stealing the energy.
Well, no, because the leaders of the pedophiles, these people control the illicit trades. They control the human slave trades. They are the ones creating and perpetrating these problems, and then jailing other people for it, so that they don't, get in there in other words, it's the laws are made to stop anybody from screwing around with their monopoly.
Exactly.
And it's a shame. People ought to just wise up, because the lies have been from start and they haven't finished yet. Until we get rid of these bums in office, till we get rid of these bankers out of this country, till we bring them to justice, till we see them hung.
Yeah.
Hung. I mean, I got to tell you, there was a great show on PBS the other day, folks, last night, where there was this guy who wrote a book. It's called, I forget, it's something about trying Bush for murder. And he's appealing on PBS. I couldn't believe it. On Democracy Now! It's a new station, I believe, on TV. I don't know how long it's been there, but I don't watch much TV. But when I saw it, I saw Democracy Now! And I saw this guy up there talking about a book he wrote and all the evidence, and he's sending cover letters with his book about prosecuting Bush for murder and all the evidence that goes with it, and pleading with over 1,000 prosecutors, local, regional, and federal prosecutors to come out and prosecute. He's even pleading to people who are in law school, saying, please, you know, if you're in law school, you want to take this case, let me send you the book and the cover letter. It's all the evidence you'll need to prosecute these bums and to hang Bush for murder. And I was like, you know, maybe there is hope for this country yet.
I hope so. That's why we're out here doing this quantum vortex thing, to wake people up and get them connected with the truth. And, I mean, you know, I'm kind of apolitical. But, I mean, I've gotten to the point where I can't keep my mouth shut anymore, because
who can?
These atrocities are unbelievable.
These, you know, I love you.
Love you too. And I got to tell you, you know, I mean, with this traveling we're doing, Don, I mean, we are going through, we're driving, you know. We load all the quantum vortex stuff up in the car and we drive. And so we get to see a lot of things and we get to talk to a lot of people. And everywhere we go, people are so scared and you know, I mean, doing really stupid things spiritually. You know, like, you know, they'll go and they'll take from the spiritual people who are trying to teach them something, and they won't give them anything back. And so we're watching this go on, and I'm going, oh, my God. The scope of this is far wider than most people realize, because not only have these people bought into the lies, and so they're scared.
They're perpetuating them also unknowingly. They do. They're perpetuating unknowingly. And what I mean by that is, you've got, in fact, I had a long conversation with somebody today, and you're probably out there listening right now, and you listen up right here, because I'll repeat myself on the air as I stated to you earlier. Cheney should be hung along with Bush, and so should Rumsfeld, and so should Condoleezza Rice.
Yep.
Let me emphasize that. Condoleezza Rice, too. You know, this person thinks that she's some sort of a beauty queen that didn't know better.
Yeah, right.
And that's just four of the wackos, okay? That's just four of them.
I mean, you can go on to the Senate and the House of Representatives, too, because...
Oh, absolutely. And all through the Judicial Department, true, right up to the top.
Unbelievable. I was talking with my mom. You know, my mom's 89 years old. And she loves politics. Politics and religion, those are the two things I don't want to discuss most of the time, right? But I was talking with her the other day, and she says, oh, I really hope this American Union doesn't happen. I said, what are you talking about? They already signed it in. It's happening. She says, oh, no, I hope they stop it. And I was going, Mom, they signed this thing in a long time ago. They've got the money ready. It's already printed, you know, and they've got all these plans. And I said, you know, I've been trying to tell you this stuff for years, and she thought I was crazy. And I'd show her the stuff, and she didn't want to read it. And unfortunately, much of America is like that. And, you know, we're going around, and we're talking to people, and we're going, listen, we're paying almost $5 a gallon for gas to go.
So that they can murder us, really, let's be honest. It's so they can steal everything from us, rape our children, murder us, and put all the world and all of its countries under their thumb, economically speaking. And it deals with the financial system that they want to control. That's exactly what's happened in every war. It's what's going on in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. It has nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. It never did.
No, it doesn't. And that's the thing that we need to get out. And not only that, like what Madeline and I talk about a lot of times is like, why is everybody talking about it? Nobody's doing anything?
Oh, they are. The action takers are starting to step forward. That's what I love.
And we're going, why don't we make the White House lawn a parking lot? You know, why don't the truckers just shut off everything and, you know, the routes into and out of Washington until they lower the gas prices? Because there is no shortage. You know, and then they push through ethanol, which requires much more expense to create, and they've bought up all of the machines that in the different ways to like run your car on water, for instance. And if the inventor does not sell to them, then they just kill him. And it is still going on today.
It's
even
worse. Yeah.
Yeah. What's it going to take for the American public to stand up and say, no more?
It's going to take people like you, me, and Winfrey.
Well, there better be more than just us three.
Well, it's going to take people standing up and talking about this and talking about it, and won't go away. We won't go away. We've had it with our children being poisoned. We've had it with our friends, neighbors, and family being poisoned. We've had it with the lies, and we've had it, truly had it, with our children being raped, stolen out from under us, and having to live a life like they're living while these sick, whacked out perverts think they can get away with it while running ramshot right over the people. We've had it. And the action takers have had it, and they know enough people like me and others are getting on the air, and we're speaking loudly and longly and vocally, and they're saying, if these people are willing to stand up without any fear, I'm going to start taking some action. And that's what we need. We need people being vocal, loud, and believe me, folks, we can't take this lying down, because if we do, we're going to get it.
That's
and
right.
It'll come faster, because they're going to give it to us whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how fast is it coming, and when are we going to stop it?
Yeah, and the thing, too, is like that I watch all the people going shopping, and they're loading their carts up with all this food, all the processed food that is full of the chemicals that make you able to be brain controlled.
Oh, they're putting some of these illegal chemicals that have been banned. Some of the most toxic chemicals in the world they're putting back into these foods, and then they have trade agreements where you can't even stop this stuff from coming into your prepackaged foods, meats, and so on. It really is, and folks, it's a global effort. You know that somehow this is happening globally. Well, don't you think that the people who have that much power, the very, very few people that can do it, we know who has that kind of money. We know who's controlling the International Monetary Fund and the World Health Organization and the World Banks. Folks, it's no mystery who it is.
Yeah.
It's exactly. No mystery anymore who's controlling this and trying to do this to the people of this fine planet. And those people need to be removed from the planet.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what else? When I was traveling on the West Coast, I found out that Bush and all these guys that want to hide have actually got underground bunkers in Grants Pass, Oregon. Did you know that?
That I didn't know.
I found that out. And they said they used to have all the presidential stuff was in Denver.
Right.
And underground, you know, in Colorado. Well, maybe not Denver, but underground in Colorado somewhere. I forget where. And as I was traveling, you know, people tell me stuff. And so I heard all about these underground bunkers, and it's like every hill in Grants Pass and around there, which includes Ashland, Oregon, and, you know, the whole area there, every hill is just completely hollowed out with bunkers.
Amazing.
Yeah, some of it is not governmental. Some of it is like militia and things like that. But I was like, oh, my God. And look, so Bush is going to go survive in Grants Pass, huh?
You know, I'll tell you, and the poor soldiers that they're screwing, I mean, they're trying to give soldiers dishonorable discharges, and they're trying to, you know, first they screw them up, okay? First they mess up the soldier, then the soldier has a problem, like post-traumatic stress disorder, like I was watching the other day, and then they dishonorably discharge them, and they end up having to pay their bonuses back. So they get discharged, they got to pay their bonuses back, and they're dishonorably discharged. And now the guy's sitting there going, "What the heck just happened? I've been fighting this, fighting for my country for the last decade, and look at what they did to me." Even if over 10 years they gave him a clean bill of health after many, many studies, later on they still lie and say, "Oh, we must have never caught it. The guy must have been a wacko before he joined us, and so we had to let him go." That's really what they're doing. I know that sounds so bizarre, but that's what they're doing.
I don't find that bizarre at all, because I've seen what the government has done through the years, and I've read back about the things they did to the American public, and it's like, I don't know what to do to wake these people up other than what we're doing.
Oh, we're waking them up. They just got to take a couple steps, put one foot in front of the other, and keep on going.
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't even realize that we get experimented on all the time. And the government considers it completely acceptable to have a 4% to 10% death from some new biological weapon that they're trying. And they release them in bus stations and train stations and all that kind of stuff. And then they track it to see how far it's going to go and how fast.
Yeah.
And they consider that completely acceptable. And the average, I think, is somewhere between 4% and 8% death every time that they release something like that. And the first big one that I knew about was the Russian flu back in the 70s. And, I mean, so many people were sick for like a month and a half, and I think 4% died from that one. And I mean, they do all this kind of stuff. And look at all the chemtrails and everything else. And I was talking with somebody that actually has proof of what's coming down in the chemtrails. And now, this is horrifying. They're little worm-like things. They have eyeballs. They have a rudimentary digestive tract. And they are covered with a silicone goo. And so they go into the body, and the body does not recognize that these are invaders, and so it doesn't bother them. And meanwhile, they're madly laying eggs all over the place. This is what they put into us.
Yeah, you know, again, it comes down to we either stop now or we take what we get.
Mm-hmm. And I keep telling people, you remember when I went to speak at the New Life Expo last year, you know, and I went to speak, I was the only one that wasn't selling anything. I just went to show people things, and I said, you got less than 3 months to get on your mission and less than a year to accomplish it, or you're not going to like the world that you're left with. What are you going to do? I don't know what else to say to people. You know, they got to get off their duffs. And they have to do what's in front of them to do. You don't have to go out and try to save the whole world, but you have to do what's in front of you to do.
Nope, you have to go out and save the whole world.
Well, yeah,
and the cheerleader.
You do it by doing your part.
Exactly. You know, I find that if we slack off now, if people want to sit back on their laurels and say, oh, not me, or I'm not going to play party to that, you know, it's coming at your door. I can promise you it's coming to your door.
Yep. It is, and it's coming really darn quick. And as I was traveling around, we had one guy last week in Florida who said, there's something coming this next week. And I said, oh, I hope not. I really wanted to be back in Sedona before any of the proverbial stuff hits the fan, you know. And I figured it was going to be, I'm like, you know, at least I know where there's water there. And I figured it was going to be like September to October. Well, then this one friend of mine spent some time with a shaman group in New Mexico and was down in the Kiva and everything else and had some incredible experiences. He said that the birds are coming and talking to the shaman and saying humanity is not prepared for what's about to happen. He says it's going to happen September 8th. And so I'm like, oh, my God. All this stuff going on, and so many of us have been feeling things. What I think is going on is that people are being tested right now.
Right now, yep. And, you know, it's funny. Here's how I look at it. A lot of people won't see it this way, but here's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to scream loudly because here's what I want. I want them to come in here and shoot me dead, because if I got to live in this kind of world where I can't be totally free with my children and my family to live life the best I can, where everybody around us can live with good hearts, I want to die. But until that happens, I'm going to be screaming long and hard.
Me too. I'm screaming loud and hard, and I'm traveling around and talking to as many people as I can, and you know, and telling people, you got to let go of fear, because, you know, you can't just be
wait till they're dying. Wait till they're dying of something really bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, or wait till their families start getting hurt, or family members start getting murdered or played with, or they start screwing around with your life.
They've already done that.
Oh, I mean, they can make your life so miserable you have no idea. The only thing you can do is just say, the hell with this. I'm going to be screaming until I'm put under. Either that or the world's going to change in front of me. Because as long as I'm here, this world's going to be changing in front of me. Because I want change and I want it now.
Exactly. And that's why we're going around hooking people up with the... We realized it was a initiation and light activation, and I mean, we're hooking them up with the brilliant white light that comes through the galactic central sun, and we're having people having these profound moments, and it's all about, you know, becoming one with your essence. And it's not airy fairy and oh lovely and it's just love and joy. No, it's way beyond that. I mean, this is taking full responsibility for your spiritual being, which is now inhabiting this physical body. And so people are really having some incredible stuff happen. And what I'm finding it's doing is it's helping them to have courage. Now, I have plenty of courage. You know, I'm like you. I'm like, you know, I'm out there and I'm continuing and they're not stopping me.
I'm not even courageous. That's the funny thing. I really am not. I'm just so, you know, I figure we're dying anyways. I'd rather die fast and hard than slow and pitiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've always been one of those people that my dad used to quote that saying, you know, that a brave man dies only once and a coward dies a thousand
times.
Dies
forever.
Yeah, and so I remember hearing that since I was a kid. I was like, well, it makes more sense to me logically that you just go for it full tilt.
Just
you know,
go
and you
for
just do
it.
Everything
exactly.
That you know you're supposed to do, and you do it as righteously as possible, and you know, you take responsibility for the being that you are.
That's right, and don't let people say, oh, gee, you can't be listening to that guy. He's just spewing off at the mouth. He just wants a war. He just wants a fight. He just wants a battle. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Doesn't have a spiritual bone in his body. He doesn't think or care about people. You know what? That kind of talk just doesn't get me going. Doesn't get me off. You know what gets me off? When the person says, all right, I'm on board. Let's change things now.
Yeah, we
right
need
now.
To. Every one of us is needed.
Not tomorrow.
And I keep telling people at these gatherings, You are needed. You cannot sit back.
The whole world did it, we'd be safe.
Yeah. There is no safety, and there's no place to run and hide, folks. So, I mean, this is it. This is the bottom line. And what's happening now is that all of the beings that are on the other side, that we call angels and guardians and all this kind of stuff, and ETs,
they're saying pull out the stops. Pull them out. They're saying pull out the stops.
These beings are here to help us, but they're not going to stop any of this stuff.
They're not going to do it for us.
No.
They'll help us.
We have to do it.
Well, they'll help.
Yeah.
But they want to know that you're sticking your best foot forward.
Right. They want to know that you're going to, you know, take the initiative. And I'm telling you, folks, this is the dividing time right now. And what you do in every moment of your life is the most important thing now. The way that you think and the way that you feel is being monitored by countless different beings and in many, many different levels of existence. And so everything that we're doing is being watched so carefully. And if you think of this as the time of the harvest, maybe you'll understand it a little bit better. And if you're a weed, you're going to get destroyed. And if you're a good plant that's putting forth some fruit, then you can actually be harvested. And
we ought to get everybody to build gallows. You know, all these people are. This would be a good one. We ought to get everybody in to build miniature gallows, stick them on their lawn, and put some faces to them. You know, like paint a picture of Bush on the gallows.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, say this is how I feel, and this is what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really got to show people. It's not just a matter of doing it. It's a matter of showing people that you're there. You're going to support them. You're going to be there to the bitter end. That you're not going to back down at all. Otherwise, they can't depend on you. They don't know where you stand. Are you going to fold in a moment of weakness or not?
Mm-hmm.
And, these action takers, they're going to step forward and take action if they know the people are behind them 1,000%. Otherwise, my gosh, they're not going to. And some of these people have the ability, the information, and the power to make a difference, but they're waiting for you, me, and everybody else. Well, it's unfortunate that they're waiting, but some of them are in those positions where they kind of have to, and they're, at least that's what they believe. Me, I think it's a matter of doing it all right here, right now. Since now's, of course, the only time we've got.
Yeah. But, time is what we got lots of. And conversely. So, this is the time. And I keep telling people, if you think that you got time to sit back on your butt and somebody else is going to take care of it, then you're in for a big surprise.
Yep. They are.
It's not going to be pleasant either.
I think we're seeing that now today. I think a lot of this weather madness is because of weather tampering as well. I think.
Well, sure it is. Iowa is completely underwater in a good portion of the state. I think they said it was like 99 counties or something have been approved for disaster relief. And now I'm looking at the news, and I see that 60 homes in Paradise, California have burned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my God. This is just crazy. Just totally insane. And we went through Florida. They had wildfires in Florida. And then, as we were coming out of Florida and going through Georgia and South Carolina, we had such bad thunderstorms happening, we couldn't see. We had to stop right on the side of the freeway and wait until it cleared a little bit so that we could find the next rest stop and sit there. Everybody was at the rest stop. Traffic stopped because it was so bad you could not clear your windshield. It was unbelievable.
Valerie, thank you. Thank you for joining us. In fact, I want you to close out with us because we've got about a minute. And we've let Wynn do way too much talking. We won't do that again. So we're going to call in the light, right, Wynn? And we're going to leave these people with a beautiful feeling after that beautiful discussion.
Valerie, thank you for visiting with us. And I'm glad that you motivated Don to be a little bit vocal. He's usually shy and quiet.
Yeah. I'm coming out of my shell, folks.
Coming out of a shell. And when are you going to be back in Sedona?
We will be back there hopefully sometime the late August or early September.
Okay. And you have a healing clinic there, right?
Not anymore. I closed it to go out on the road and bring the truth to people.
Well, good for you. Okay. Well, what we do at the end here is, you probably haven't studied me enough to know completely, but I've established this rapport with these group souls that are in other dimensions that actually, if they're explaining themselves correctly, are able to bring light into this realm and stop nuclear disasters, but they don't violate free will, so we need us to ask them.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what we're doing here is creating a group energy, inviting those other group energies into our energy for the highest good, and asking and being open to their support for lifting the vibration of our planet. So,
mm-hmm.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Valerie, Don, myself, and everyone who's listening, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. And right now, we're going to envision ourselves in this flow of energy that's radiating from the center of the universe to the center of our galaxy, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Each of us being a cosmic sending and relay station. And in this energy field that goes through multi-dimensions, and that we are going to invoke a coming together of our spirits in those higher dimensions. Right now, those of you that want to participate with us, and we invite those positive service to other energies that are also in those other dimensions to join with us and who can help us with our intentions down here, add to our intentions, and we ask for their support and help, first of all, for each of us personally, in the fulfillment of our own dreams that are operating for the highest good of all concerned, and in our own experience of love in our own families and in our communities, that we can hold that energy that other people can experience that around us. And then we ask for the blessings of peace for our planet, and that all areas of darkness and negativity can be filled in and uplifted, and that for those people that are reaching for higher energy, that energy can be in their space and they can feel it. And we ask for interventions for the highest good of all concerned, for a safe passage of our planet into its transformation right now. We ask for interventions to allow that to occur in peace so that everyone has an opportunity to expand and grow during this period and be out of fear. So interventions on anything that creates fear might be stopped. And on that note, we wish you all blessings. On Monday night, I'm doing my conference call where we continue this kind of stuff that we just did right now, sometimes with channelings, Monday at 6 p.m., I thank Dr. Valerie Olmsted for calling in and taking my job over tonight.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. I didn't intend to do that, but...
and don't forget to tune in to Enlightened Medicine, folks, every Tuesday night on Station 2 at 8 p.m. You don't want to miss it, all right?
Dr. Valerie, right?
Uh-huh.
And let's...
We got to wrap it up.
Give praise for Don's house not burning down.
Folks, Thank you, Wynn. It's always a pleasure. Folks, we got to wrap this up real quick. Don't forget, tune in next week. We're going to have a hell of a show for you next week. That I promise you. We have a guest next week that'll be unbelievable. If you want to know who I'm talking about, go to justanothercoverup.com and check it out. Up next, we have a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. So don't go anywhere. Stick around.
I love you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.